Welcome. My name is Rita Halklane, and I'm very blessed to be here with you today. I'm happy to be here as well, and I pray that the Lord will richly bless our time together. most of you know Kathleen McCarthy for all of her different ministries, and also she's the president of this Catholic network. And so she's asked me to host this program for an hour every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. And I have agreed to do it. This comes after a very long two-year discernment period on both of our parts. Lots of prayer and searching for what the Lord wanted me to do and if I was supposed to do things with her or not. And it's just remarkable the things that he has showed us through all of this. And so I'm happy to be here. I'm new at it, so I ask you to be patient with me. And I hope that you will find the show encouraging. I'd like to share a few things with you, and I have some notes, so please bear with me, because I'm not used to following someone. I've been doing Friday evening shows, and there was no one before me. And so I would sit here and collect my thoughts and that sort of thing, and I couldn't do that today. But I do have notes. And anyway, I have named the show Into the Deep. Into the Deep. And next time I'm on, that should come up as the name of the show. And I'm asking you to journey with me, okay? I am not going to lecture you, and I'm not going to tell you, you know, who you should be or what you should do and that sort of thing, but I am going to make suggestions, and I am going to hopefully give you food for thought. I'm a convert. I joined the Catholic Church in 1999. I have served the Lord in my parish in various events in the New Archdiocese for 23 years. I am a lay missionary of charity. I work with Mother Teresa's sisters in Chester and sometimes in Norristown. And I love being Catholic. I've said it many times, the greatest joy of my life. And so I want to share with you why I have such joy. But sometimes, you know, you have to hear some tough love sometimes. But it's always out of love and absolute wishes for the best for you. But we're journeying together. So I wrote down here, I'm asking you to journey with me as we cast the nets of our lives into the deep with Jesus, trusting, hoping, and in expectation of what he is going to do. I hope to share with you the beauty, wisdom, and joy of the Catholic Christian life. That's my goal, all right? So I want to share with you a little bit about an explanation as to why I chose Into the Deep. For me, it's tied to the story of St. Peter and the miracle of the great catch of fishes. And also tied to, I call him Papa John Paul, but it's Pope St. John Paul II. And I'll explain a little bit more of that to you later. But I would like to begin with the story in the Gospels about St. Peter and the catch of fishes. And so, if you just bear with me a moment. So, a reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 5. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Genesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. I want to stop there for a second. My husband and I went camping up in Algonquin Park in Canada. It is so quiet, you can hear your heart blood pumping in your ears. It's that quiet. And what you learn is that sound carries across water and is magnified across water. So from my own experience, I understand Simon put out in the water a little bit so that Jesus could speak, and it would magnify the sound of it to the people on the shore. So I'll continue from that. So he put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats, so that they were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of the fish they had made seized him and all those with him. This story is one of my absolute favorite stories in the scriptures, because one of the things about these stories in the scriptures are that they have multiple meanings, multiple life application. One of the things that we are told to do, or it's suggested for us to do, is to imagine ourselves within the story. So when you look at it, you can see that Simon Peter and the other fishermen had given up. They'd been fishing all night. They hadn't caught a thing. They gave up, and they said, "Okay, that's it. No more fishing. We've had enough." And so they're cleaning up, they're getting ready to go home, or wherever they were going to go. And so you see in that a hopeless situation. Like, we could apply that to our lives. We've done all we can. We have worked hard at solving a problem. We owe money or whatever. We need that money. We need the catch. We need to find a way to make money, et cetera, et cetera. But we can't. We've exhausted our possibilities, and we've given up. And so the story shows us that there's more that can be done. Just when it seems the most hopeless, or just when, you know, things aren't going as well as we had hoped them to go, there is more hope. There is another way. Okay, so initially you see Simon Peter fishing without Jesus. All right, he and the other fishermen had been out. They had fished all night. They were fishing, you know, without Jesus. They were fishing in their own way, so to speak. But when Jesus joined them, okay, when Jesus joined him, Simon Peter, he listened. He was open to Jesus. He obeyed Jesus when Jesus told him, even though he knew it was hopeless, he said, "All right, I'm going to do it. You say to do it, I'm going to do it." So he obeyed in spite of his doubts. He received great gifts, far beyond anything he ever imagined. And immediately after that, he realized that being with Jesus changes everything and gives so much more than it takes. And so he followed Jesus. And this is what we can do as well, you know. And so it's almost as if Jesus is saying to Simon Peter and to us, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here now. Let's journey together and let's try again. Okay, because with him, all things are possible. All right. There's a wonderful spiritual lesson in this. So I would like to look at it at a little bit of a spiritual perspective. When we're in charge of our lives, solely and entirely, like Simon Peter was, doing life our own way, we don't do so well sometimes, and our growth, spiritual growth, can be really stunted. Things can actually look or be hopeless. I can't tell you how many situations I've been in my life where it really, really seemed hopeless. But I believe in Jesus Christ, and I try to follow him, and I always knew that nothing was 100% hopeless, but I would say, Lord, help us, you know, you're our only hope. You're our only hope. In some situations, he really is. All right, thank God we have him, because without him, I don't know. So many situations in my life would have been hopeless, and I would have given up, and God only knows what all I would have gone through. But with him, all things are possible. So anyway, so when we're doing our own thing, running our own lives, living according to our unholy will, doing life our own way, as far as spiritually, we stay in what Bishop Barron calls spiritual shallows, like when you're in a boat and you're in the shallows, in the shallow water. The superficial, shallow stuff, where nothing is blah, it's boring, there's not much of anything going on, and it's not an adventure, it's not what it's meant to be. And I heard not too long ago that our faith life is either growing or it's dying. Going forward or in reverse. There's no neutral center where we just hang out. If we aren't growing, we're going backwards. Okay? So, when we let Jesus into our boat of life, okay, and let him lead and guide us, let him use our unique personalities and talents, extraordinary things can happen, and hope is reborn. I can't stress that enough, but we have to allow him to get into the boat. He's been begging to get into our boats of life our whole lives. And sometimes we've said yes, and sometimes we've said no. But the way I look at it now that I'm a little bit older is, why would I want to go through life without him? Why would I say no to Jesus Christ, the Lord of the world, King of the universe, the one who knows everything? When you say yes to him, all kinds of remarkable things start happening. I think he has a great sense of humor. I'll give you one example. I'm getting off topic a little bit, but I have to share it. My husband and I had a little house at the shore, and some things happened after Hurricane Sandy, and we had to move. So we were praying for a different house. Because we love the Jersey Shore. I grew up in Florida near the Gulf of Mexico. He grew up here in Haverford, and his family had a little cabin at the beach in Seattle City, and we both just love the beach. So it's just a part of who we are. So we're praying for a new house, new to us. And in our old house, we rented it out, and our tenants complained about the heavy dishes that were in the cabinet. And so I went out and I bought the Corelware, that lightweight stuff that you can put in the oven and everything, and I put it in the cabinet. And everybody liked it, including me. Not very fancy, but perfect for a rental home. And so I said this little thoughtless little prayer, like, okay, Lord, you know, let whatever house we're supposed to buy have Corelware in it. And I didn't even think anything of it. And guess what? The only house that that had Corelware was the one we ended up buying. So I think he has a great sense of humor. And, of course, that kind of thing doesn't always happen. But I just thought it was a funny little cute joke from the Lord. So when you give yourself to him, sometimes that's the way he shows you that he is listening to you. But anyway, so when we're in charge of our own lives, like Simon Peter, don't care what God says or thinks or whatever, we are in a spiritual, blah, spiritual shallows. And we're not really growing. So when we let Jesus into our boat of life and let him lead and guide us, extraordinary things happen and hope is reborn. Okay? He doesn't leave us in the shallow, blah, boring spiritual life. He refuses to. If we say yes, he wants to give us every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as St. Paul called it. And so he sends us out into the deep, though. No longer are we staying in the shallows. He sends us out into the deep, the spiritual depths, where amazing graces and excitement are found. If you're a fisher person, you know that the majority of the fish that and critters you want to catch are not in the super shallow water. They're in the deeper water. And it's the same kind of thing with our spiritual life. If we want to go into the spiritual riches, we let him in the boat and we say, "Let's go, Lord. Let's go." And it's it really is an adventure. It is not boring. You don't turn into a little robot, and you don't have to give up everything fun and joyful in life. You're so rich, you just can't imagine. I was a typical young person who believed and then went off and did her own thing and all this sort of stuff. But then I woke up one day and I said, wait a minute, this is not all it was cut out to be. And I came back to the Lord, and I've been very happy since then. I hope you are too. So anyway, the Lord takes us into the deep, and that's why I named the show Into the Deep, because I'm praying for you, and I hope you'll pray for me, that we together can go out into the deep with Jesus and let him show us what it is he has in store for us. You know, St. Paul said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, etc., what God has ready for those who love him. And it's not just about heaven. It's about right now, right here. How can we have peace of mind? How can we have joy? How can we be fearless in the midst of a crazy world that wants to make everything scary? You know, so I'm hoping that together we can discover that. And now, that was the gospel story. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to share with you Papa John Paul II. He spoke about into the deep, or Duke and Altum go out into the deep many, 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 many times. And here's a couple of quotes, because I'll tell you why in a minute. But anyway, He wrote in his apostolic letter at the beginning of the new millennium in 2000, for 2000, he wrote this: our hearts ring out with the words of Jesus. When one day, after speaking to the crowds from Simon's boat, he invited the apostle to put out into the deep for the catch, Duke and Altum, which I just read to you. Peter and his first companions trusted Christ's words and cast the nets. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Okay, you have to notice, trusted Christ's words. Do we trust Christ's words? Do we trust those words? Okay, so they trusted Christ's words. Then they took action. They cast their nets. And when they had done that, trusted and acted, they caught a great number of fish. And then Papa John Paul goes on to say, Duke and Altum, these words ring out for us today. And they invite us to remember the past with gratitude, to live the present with enthusiasm, and to look forward to the future with confidence. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So here we have a Lord who always keeps his word, is always faithful, will teach us, will discipline us, etc. But we can trust everything about him. And he also says here, Papa John Paul, now we must look ahead. We must put out into the deep, trusting in Christ's words, Duke and Altum. Put out into the deep. And so I love him very much, and I wanted to, I thought that the name of the show should be Into the Deep in his honor, and also for my own devotion to him. And I want to share with you right now part of the reason I have such a devotion to him. Before I was even Catholic, he was coming. First of all, my husband and his family are Catholic. His parents were very devout. There are 13 children. And so anyway, I was surrounded by all of these wonderful Catholic people. And Papa John Paul was coming to Giant Stadium in New York. I guess that was in Jersey, but it was New York team. And I called my sister-in-law because I loved him. I wasn't even Catholic and I loved him. And I said, I want to go see the Pope. And she said, you want to go see the Pope? I said, yes, I want to go see the Pope. And she goes, okay, there's a bus going from our parish and we'll go. I said, wonderful. So at the time I was a Lutheran and I went to my pastor and I said, look, you know, I have a great affection for John Paul II, Pope John Paul II. And I'm going with my in-laws to see him at Giant Stadium. And is it okay for me to take communion with him? And my Lutheran pastor, he looked me in the eye and he says, do you truly believe that Jesus Christ is present in the Holy Eucharist? And I said, yes, I do. And he says, have communion with the Pope. And of course, I didn't know any better, so I did. But I can tell you, at that event, it was the most remarkable thing I'd ever experienced. The old Giant Stadium, it's not there anymore, had these circular walkways on each corner of the building, so people could walk all the levels all the way up, and they were circular. And so you weren't allowed to drive there for the Pope. You had to take a bus or be in some kind of official vehicle. And so there were tens of thousands of people on those circular walkways, crunched in like you could hardly breathe. But everyone was so happy. There wasn't a nasty thing said. Nobody was pushing and shoving. It was the most beautiful event I've ever been to in my life, where people were just all on top of each other, but joyful, and, oh, you need to get by, yeah, sure, go here, go there. I mean, it was just wonderful, wonderful. It was amazing. Then, and I had communion with him, and later, of course, when I became Catholic, I had to, I went to confession and confessed it. I didn't know I was doing something wrong, so I guess technically it wasn't wrong, but I had to confess it because I understood things then. But and then all kinds of I just have a connection to him. I don't know why, but I don't really have enough time to tell you. But I received a miracle from Papa John Paul, and I'm going to tell you that after the break. So between now and the break, I'm just going to, tell you that the Lord loves you more than anyone loves you. He knows our flaws. He knows we really, really screw up at times, and it's very difficult to forgive ourselves, and it's difficult for others to forgive us. But the Lord is always, always there. He loves us as we are, but he doesn't want to leave us kind of orphaned, like he doesn't exist or something. He wants to show himself to us. He wants to change our hearts. He wants to give us all the good things that he can give us, but he waits for our yes. Some people kind of dismiss Mary, the mother of Jesus, as, she was chosen and she had to do that. No, she had free will. She wanted to do it, but she could have said no. She could have said no to being the mother of Jesus. She could have said no, but she didn't. And so the Lord waits for our yes as well, our fiat. And when we say yes to him, it's amazing what he will do for us. So anyway, we're going to take a break in a minute or so, and we're going to I'll come back to tell you about my miracle that I got from John Paul, and there was a miracle I got from Our Lady, and I'll tell you why I think I got them. But anyway, I'll be back in a minute. Don't go away. I have a lot more to talk to you about. Thanks.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Okay, welcome back. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, and I have another half hour show. So, we were talking about John Paul II, Pope John Paul II, Saint John Paul II, and the devotion I have to him and the impact he had on my life before I was Catholic and since I've been Catholic. And I mentioned that I received a miracle from him. And I want to share that with you because I think the miracle was given to me for you, to encourage you. quite a few years ago, I had a mammogram, and I had a very large mass. And the mammogram showed a very large mass. And you should have seen the way everyone was acting at the place where I got the mammogram. They scared me to death. They said, you must go see a doctor right away, blah, blah, blah. They did an ultrasound, still there. And, of course, it frightened me. You know, they said, this is not good. You've got to take care of this right away. So I went to the doctor, and he looked at the tests, and he said, well, let's do a needle biopsy. I'm going to schedule you for a needle biopsy, and, right away. So, anyway, it was on a Wednesday. I lead a women's Bible study on Wednesday mornings at St. Pius at 10 o'clock. And it was scheduled for, say, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So after Bible study was over, I was cleaning up. And at St. Pius, they have two meeting rooms downstairs below the church. On one side is a John Paul II room, and the other side is a Mother Teresa room, and both of them I have great devotion to. But our Bible study was at that time was being held in the John Paul II room, and they have beautiful pictures of him on the wall, and I feel like he's my papa in some way. So I was getting ready to walk out the door, and I turn around, and I looked at the pictures of him, and I said, Papa, pray for me, please. That's all I said. Almost didn't think much of it, you know. And so I went out, you know, of course my husband was taking me, and we prayed about it, that sort of thing. We got to the place where I was going to have the biopsy, and you know, I had to get ready for the biopsy, and then a nurse came, and I'm pretty outgoing, and she was speaking in a foreign accent. And a very nice conversation we were having. I said, where's your accent? Where are you from? And she goes, I'm from Poland. And I went, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I said, Poland? And she goes, yes. And I said, are you Catholic? I was so bold. And she goes, yes, but I don't practice anymore. And I said, let me tell you something. And I told her about my little prayer. And I said, it is no coincidence that you, a nurse from Poland, are helping me today. You are the answer to my prayer that Papa John Paul took care of. And she was just mesmerized. And we just had this wonderful talk and everything about the Lord, about Poland, about Papa John Paul. And then she put me into the operating room, and I was laying there on the table, and they were piping in contemporary music, you know, like pop music and stuff. And while I was waiting there, all of a sudden, on comes Barbara Streisand singing the Ave Maria. First of all, what was that Ave Maria song doing in the middle of all this pop music? Not religious music at all. I didn't even know Barbara Streisand ever sang the Ave Maria. But there it was. And I thought, okay, this is strange. All right. Well, in comes the doctor. And he starts to get ready for the procedure. And he does an ultrasound so that he can find where he needs to do the needle biopsy. And he goes, there's nothing here. I don't know what they're talking about. And I said, what do you mean? He says, there's nothing here. There's no mass. There's nothing here. And it had been confirmed before by the mammogram and by the ultrasound. And he said, I see nothing. And I'm going, really? And he goes, yeah. And I said, wow, I don't know what to think. And he says, well, I don't either. He says, I'm going to do the biopsy anyway, in case I'm being stupid and don't see something. But I don't see anything. Well, he did the biopsy and there was nothing. So I have a Polish nurse. I have the Ave Maria in, well, I'm on the table. And I have a missing mass. And I know that that miracle came from Papa John Paul praying for me. All right. I know it with all my, every fiber of my being. And I have loved him even more ever since. I feel like I know him somehow. It's just the most remarkable thing. And I think that these, that happened to me because the Lord knew that I was determined to be an instrument of his, for his use, and that one day maybe I'd be able to share that with you so that you could be encouraged. So, you know, no matter how bleak things look, you know, cast out your net and trust the Lord and act. Do what you can, but trust the Lord, okay? And then, let's see, what time is it? Okay. I had another miracle, but this one was from Our Lady. When I was looking into becoming Catholic, I wasn't sure I was supposed to be Catholic, but I really felt deep in my heart I was. But there were things I wasn't sure about, you know, things that I had mistaken. I had been given wrong information about by other people. One of them was Our Lady. You know, some of the people in, you know, in my past had said that, oh, Catholics worship the Blessed Mother and all these other things, and they think she's God and all, and I thought, well, that doesn't sound right to me, and of course it's not right. But I found out a lot of really wonderful things about Our Lady in RCIA and my own research, because I wasn't going to trust anybody for something so important as joining the Catholic Church. So I did a lot of research myself. And I had this rose garden. And there were like 7 rose bushes in there. And one of them, this was like in September when I was in RCIA. But one of them had died in the spring. No leaves, no growth, completely dead. But I hadn't taken it out yet because I was too busy. So in probably October, I was out cleaning out the garden, and I looked at that rose, and I knew from the things I had learned that Mary has a, you know, roses are associated with Our Lady. So I said, okay. Again, I was like a young kid. I was bold. And I said, okay, Mary, Mother of Jesus, if you're everything that they say you are in the Catholic Church, and I need to trust you as my spiritual mother, then make this rose come back alive. Guess what? Like 2 weeks later, it was alive. And so, I mean, it hadn't had any thing on it, any growth, any green stems or anything for probably five months. And then all of a sudden, in the fall, when it's supposed to be dying off for the winter, all of this growth came out. And I had that rose alive and well for 2 years. So I knew that that was a little miracle that the Lord gave me so that I wouldn't give up. Our Lady gave to me, I wouldn't give up on my quest to become Catholic. I knew from that point on that I was supposed to join the Catholic Church. And I'm telling you, it's been a great joy. You know, once you say yes to the Lord and you quit fighting and you quit criticizing and you keep, you move from rebellion to acceptance, wow, it's just the most amazing adventure. Anyway, I want to change horses in the middle of the stream here a little bit. I want to speak a little bit about Lent. Lent's coming up on Wednesday, of course, and you know that. Everybody knows that. In fact, everybody's talking about it now. So I don't want to bore you to tears and repeat things over and over again, but especially if you were listening to Monsignor before me. But I want to, I would like to read, speaking of John Paul, I want to read an article, a very short article that was in Aletheia magazine, let's see, in a few days ago. How is Lent a time of truth? Lent brings out the truth in ourselves and helps us to reorder our lives, bringing them back into alignment with God. Lent is a time in the church calendar when we can step back and recognize the truth about who we are and where we have fallen short of God's plan for our lives. St. John Paul II reflects on this aspect of Lent in his 1981 message. And this is a quote, "Lent is a time of profound truth, which brings conversion, restores hope, and by putting everything back in its proper place, brings peace and optimism." In particular, St. John Paul II recognizes Lent as a time to examine our relationship with God. Lent, and here's a quote from him, "Lent is a time that makes us think about our relationship with our Father. It reestablishes the order that should reign between brothers and sisters. Lent is a time that makes us jointly responsible for one another. It detaches us from our own selfishness, small-mindedness, meanness, and pride. It is a time that enlightens us and makes us understand better that we too, like Christ, must serve." St. John Paul II continues this reflection by posing questions for all of us to consider during Lent. Yes, Lent is a time of truth. This is Papa John Paul again. Yes, Lent is a time of truth. Let us examine ourselves sincerely, honestly, and simply. Our brothers and sisters are there among the poor, the sick, the outcast, the aged. Here's the two questions, and it would be do us well to ponder them. What sort of love do we have? What sort of love do we have? And the second question is, what sort of truth? What sort of truth? So open your minds to look around you. Open your hearts to understand and sympathize. Open your hands to help. The needs are vast, as you know. I therefore urge you to take a generous part in this sharing. And then the article concludes with, as we embrace the season of Lent, may we examine our own lives and see how we have lived according to the truth of the gospel. You know, it's funny, in today's world, it seems like people don't like that word, truth. That's your truth, that's not my truth. That's what happens when we move away from God's truth. Each person can decide what's good or bad and what's true and untrue, and you have chaos. Plain and simple chaos. Everyone marches to the beat of their own drummer, and as in Scripture you see it time and time again, people do what's right in their own eyes. Literally, that is in Scripture. Okay? So, anyway, during Lent, we examine ourselves, we seek the Lord, we pray, hopefully pray more, we love more, we give more. But I wanted to share with you my goals. I was pondering this myself, and I like to be a little, I don't like to do the same exact thing every year. So we're doing a study on the Holy Spirit in the Bible study. And this scripture came up, and I was pondering it the other day. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline." So the Holy Spirit has given himself to us, and that results in power, love, and self-discipline. So I decided then that I was going to cooperate more with Holy Spirit this Lent. So I took those three words, power, love, and self-discipline, and I pondered them. And you could do the same thing if you like. And I'm sure when I'm telling you what I came up with, you have more to add of your own, which is fine. But power. Power. Where does power come from? It comes from Him. It comes from the Lord. And it comes, and so to have power and to be in touch with that power, we need to pray, all right? It's kind of funny. We know we're supposed to pray, and we do pray, most of us, and we see the results of those prayers a lot of times right in our face, but then we still hesitate to pray. So I'm committing myself to more prayer, to get closer in touch with the power of the Lord, and to get closer to Him. It says, I wrote down here, this is the way I look at Him. He is the one who calms the storms of life. He is. He empowers us to face and overcome all the challenges of life. And believe you me, I know there's plenty of challenges. And He is also the one who can give us riches beyond all measure. So here are some of the ways I plan to, like, other than prayer, to get in touch with this power of the Spirit. Read and ponder the daily Mass gospel readings. Read other books and devotionals. I just got this devotional for Lent. It's called Made for Heaven, a guided Lent journal for prayer and meditation by Father Agustino Torres. I did his Advent book, and I really loved it. So if you're interested and not sure what to get, Made for Heaven by Father Agustino Torres. It's really, I'm sure it's going to be every bit as good as the other one. So, reading the Gospels, pondering the Gospels. Don't just read them and forget them. Ponder them. Put yourself in there. And imagine you're there. How would you feel? What would you think? And then read books or devotionals. Spend more time in prayer, obviously. Seek to live an authentic Christian life. Go to church more often. Receive the Holy Eucharist more often. Go to confession. Go to Kathleen's retreat that's coming up. The more we cooperate with the Lord and do the things that He says that we should do, the deeper our faith becomes, the stronger we become, the more joy we have. All right, so that's what and the power comes from the Lord, the power to heal, the power to encourage, the power to lift up our brothers and sisters. There's just so much power that comes through the Holy Spirit. And the more closer we try to get to Him, the more He will come. Because even Jesus said that the Lord will give, God our Father will give lots of the Holy Spirit, the powers and being of the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And so that's what we're doing in our prayer life. We're asking for more, to be closer to Him and to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the next word is love. So I'm going to pray for Him to fill me with His love for others and seek ways to reach out more to others. All right. I shared with the other station, the other time slot on Fridays, that a few years ago I was at the Delaware Shore, and I use, whenever I go away like that, even with friends, I use that as kind of a retreat time. I spend a little more time in the morning before I get up and move around and pray and read and ponder. And I was down on the beach with my friends, and I looked around, and all of a sudden, something came over me, and I just, every person I looked at, I felt this deep love for them and the ability to see into them what their potential was and what beauty there was in them already, regardless of whether they were believers or not or what they were doing. even if they were misbehaving and stuff, you know, some of the kids, you know, how they get at the beach. I saw all this beauty. It took my breath away. And it was gone, boom, just like that. So I'm praying for him to fill me with his love and his understanding of others, all right? So some of the ways, actions I'm going to take is I'm going to call family members and friends that I haven't been in touch with regularly. I'm going to send some cards and letters to those that need to know they aren't forgotten. And they can be even perfect strangers. I'm going to try to visit others when I can. Volunteer at a soup kitchen. I love doing that. And almsgiving, give more monies to charities and the parish. And here's one that I'm going to ask you to do. Cry out to the Lord in prayer for the world. There's so much hurt, so much pain, so much need, but the number one thing that's needed is people to either come to Jesus Christ or return to Jesus Christ and let him heal them and everything around them. And we really, really need to cry out. When the Jewish people were in slavery, the Lord heard their cries. He heard their cries. He saw their afflictions. It says that in Scripture. He himself said, I have heard their cries. I have seen their afflictions. And I have come to save them. So when we cry out to the Lord, we are assisting the world with our prayers. So I want to do more of that. But I want to also say, are you lonely? Are you forgotten? Or at least you feel forgotten? How about if you be the one who reaches out to other people who are lonely and forgotten? We all hear about people that have had tragedies or health concerns or whatever, and yet we're suffering, right? But if you take the time to reach out to someone else who's suffering, someone else who needs to hear a kind voice, what you will receive from that is indescribable. And then you won't be as lonely. You won't be as forgotten or feel as forgotten because you've made contact with someone else who needs you as much as you need them. So you be the one. You be the one. You reach out. And don't feel funny. Just say, hey, you know, call somebody and say, hey, I heard this and I just wanted to call and tell you I'm thinking about you. And, you know, what's up? How are you doing? That sort of thing. Very simple. It doesn't have to be an hour-long phone call or a really long letter. I'm thinking of you card, you know, heard this or wondering how you're doing or whatever. Call me sometime. Or whatever. There's so many ways for even people who can't get up and get around to be one of those healing forces in the world. So think about that. All right, and then the self-discipline. Power, love, self-discipline. I'm praying for the ability to be more self-disciplined. I'm older than I used to be, so it's a little more difficult to get things done as quickly as I want to have them done and be as organized as I want to be, like I used to be when I was younger. So I'm working on self-discipline to the best that I can. So, of course, I'll be fasting, as we all should do at certain points throughout Lent. Limited shopping. Some of we women have a little issue with that, so limited shopping. A new cleaning schedule for my home, a time management schedule. I'm a very busy woman. I have a lot of things going on with church and with the radio now, and of course my own personal life So I'm going to try to come up with some kind of more organized time management. And so, I mean, there's all different kinds of things. Self-discipline. Fasting is a form of self-denial. Okay, it breaks strongholds of bad habits. All right. It breaks strongholds of bad habits. And one of the things we give up is certain foods sometimes. Well, we do give up meats and things like that, but I mean personally, we might want to give up candy or something like that. I'll tell you what happened with me. I gave up candy, you know, like chocolate bars and stuff one Lent. And believe it or not, I had no desire for those after that. I'll have an occasional candy bar or something once in a blue moon, but it broke that hold on me completely. I mean, completely. I wasn't expecting that. So, anyway. But there's, I looked in the catechism about Lent, and the number one first suggestion in the catechism to do during Lent is to intensify our prayer life. The Lord is calling us to a deeper prayer life right now, folks. Deeper prayer life. We into the deep with our prayer life, with our, you know, the things that we do and don't do, and to really, really draw close to Him. It's essential. We have been born for such a time as this, and we have been given mission for such a time as this. And one of the part of that mission, primary part of that mission, is prayer. All right? So I want to remind you that Valentine's Day is also on Wednesday. I don't remember that ever happening in my lifetime. It may have, but I don't remember it. But Wednesday is Valentine's Day, and as well as the beginning, you know, Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. So show the love. Show the love to the Lord. Show your love to those around you. Even to strangers. Give them a big smile. Mother Teresa used to say, you have no idea what a gift a big smile is. So give that gift out. Love, love, love your spouse. Love your children. Love the Lord. And I'll be back in a couple of weeks. I can't be here next week, but I'll be back in a couple of weeks. And I just want to quickly remind you of the Kathleen's retreat in February 23rd through 25th at Malvern. Go to malvernretreat.com. I hope you come. I'll be there part of the time. And if you see me, stop and say hi. All right? God bless you. Take care. Happy Lent.